episode number 100 of our podcast, and we're starting a new series this week on the book of Exodus. Part one is about the general theme of this book, and the title of the book, which in the Hebrew Bible is not the book of Exodus, and we'll examine why that is the case and the significance of that. So this book, it's 40 chapters long. It's something which we're very familiar with as far as many of the stories, the birth of Moses, the slavery of the children of Israel in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, you know, all sorts of stories which we're very, very familiar with. And it ends, the second half of the book is all about the tabernacle. So how do we make sense of this long book? How do we begin to study it and try to figure out the main lessons that come from it? Well, one of the keys to that is by looking at the very first word in the Hebrew Bible. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "These are the names of the sons of Israel." And it goes through a whole list of names there from verse 1 down to verse 4. And it's a curious beginning because we already know who the names are of Jacob and his sons. In fact, verses 1 to 4 are almost a complete repeat of what it says back in Genesis chapter 46. When they were in the land of Egypt to begin with, we're told here was Jacob and his 12 sons and their descendants. Now, it's repeated at the beginning of the book of Exodus. So what is the significance of that? Why do we need to be told this again, reminded of this fact? Well, that's the whole point. This is a reminder that God is still with his people. We don't know exactly how much time has passed since the days of Jacob and Joseph and so forth, but it could be about 300 years. And yet, despite that fact, God has not forgotten his people. And one of the grand themes that runs through the book of Exodus is that the God of heaven, the eternal God, has an eternal purpose, and his purpose has not changed, and it concerns his people, who he chose, the children of Abraham that went through Isaac and then Jacob, and now into the book of Exodus, despite hundreds of years passing by, God still remembers his people, and God still wants a relationship with his people. Now, I mentioned earlier that this idea comes out of the title of the book in the Hebrew Bible. Our Bibles calls this book the book of Exodus, but the Jews do not call it by that name. Instead, what the Jews do with the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, is they take the very first word in the Hebrew, and that becomes the title of the book. And it's a remarkable thing because that very first word in each of these books is kind of like a summary of the main theme in that book. Now, the very first word in the Hebrew Bible of the book of Exodus is the word shamot, which is the Hebrew word for names. So where in our English versions it says something like, "These are the names of the sons of Israel," in Hebrew it's the word names, which is the first word. So the Hebrews or the Jews call this book the book of names. Now, you might think, well, what's the point of that, the book of names? What's so important about that? Well, as you start reading through Exodus, you begin to realize that names are extremely significant. And we've already seen the significance here, haven't we? These names God has left on record, he's remembered their names. And that's a fantastic thing, that despite hundreds of years going by and these men dead and buried, God recalls their names right at the beginning of this book. And that theme continues throughout the book of Exodus. We have the mention of the names of the midwives in the end of chapter 1. Those who rescued the babies from the edict of Pharaoh. We have Moses' name mentioned and why he was called Moses, because he was drawn out of the water. And we have names mentioned all the way through this book. And it's important for us to realize that names in Scripture take a much deeper significance the names that we have today. My name is Richard, and it's more or less just a label to identify who I am. But names in Scripture are more important than that. Someone's name very often describes not just who they are, a single person with this name, but the kind of person that they are, or maybe the purpose that they have. It describes their reputation. In fact, we still use that language today, don't we? We talk about someone having a good name. So by God recalling the names of the children of Israel, and God declaring his own name, this is the book, isn't it, where God reveals his name to Moses in chapter 3 at the burning bush. Moses says, when I go to the children of Israel, what shall I say is your name? And God says, my name is I will be who I will be. And then later on in chapter 34, God reveals a little bit more about his name, that he is merciful and gracious. He reveals his character, because God's name is attached to his purpose and to his character. Then if we go to some of the nitty-gritty chapters, as I call them, at the end of Exodus, about the tabernacle and the furniture and the clothing of the priests and so on, names come out very strongly there too. For instance, when the priest put on his breastplate, inscribed into that breastplate and on the shoulder piece were the names of the children of Israel. And it's as if to tell us that what the priest was doing when he went into the presence of God was bearing the names of the children of Israel on his heart, in the breastplate, and on his shoulders. It's as if he's carrying them in and representing them before God. Because God cares about his people. God knows his people by name. They're not employees with an employee number. That's not the kind of relationship God wants with us. God wants us to be part of his family. He wants us to know his name, and he knows what our names are. And so keep that in mind as you read through the book of Exodus. It's about God establishing this deep relationship with his people. Now, another key idea that comes out of the book of Exodus is from the word knowledge, or to know. And that takes on a deep significance in this book as well. You'll find, for instance, in the tabernacle and the Sabbath, which are emphasized towards the end of the book, these things were set up that the children of Israel might know who God is. The plagues that were sent upon Egypt were that the Egyptians and the Hebrews might know who God is. Now, this idea of knowledge in Exodus, and generally throughout the Bible, really, this principle stands. Knowledge is more than just an academic understanding of something, that we know that there is a God in heaven. The idea of knowledge in the book of Exodus is that more intimate, deeper knowledge that comes through experience. It's the difference between looking on a map, say, of the United States and seeing the city of Washington, D.C., and knowing where it is on the map, and actually living in Washington, D.C., and knowing the city through experience. That's the difference then. God wants us to know him at that deeper level. He knows his people at a deeper level. Again, they're not just employees. They're his family. And he wants to get to know us. And he wants us to get to know him. Now, just before we finish this first episode, one other interesting thing to note here regarding the idea of names is that when we come to the Egyptians, particularly to Pharaoh and the magicians that turn up a number of times in the story of the plagues, we're never told what their names are. We've no idea. Instead, they're nameless. We're given the titles. Pharaoh is a title. The magicians is a title. But we don't know their names because it's not important. The book of Exodus is about God, Yahweh, his name, and his family.